I want to actually share my journey actually with the Lord for the past 20 years plus. And so please bear with me. I'm actually using notes because I'm not actually good at memory. So yeah, so I want to first touch actually before I became Christian and how actually I began my relationship with Christ and then, you know, the current, my journey with the Lord. So yeah, you know, looking back, maybe as you may also, you know, experience that, you know, looking back, the path actually God guided me was really, really consistent. Although in the midst of it, I don't know, even before I became Christian. Maybe I actually just share the Psalm actually 139:13. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together and in my mother's womb. So yeah, my name is Marito, by the way, sorry. So I was born in a non-Christian family in 68. Thank you, actually, Pastor Ron, that I, yes. So I'm actually quite in age. So, but in a non-Christian family, so my father named me the Mary, actually in Chinese character, in truth. And so as he thought there should be justice and truth in this world, in his time. This is because he thought Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia in 68, it happened in the history. So it was not right in his eye. And so, and prior to my kindergarten time, I suddenly stopped walking. Actually, I couldn't walk. So my parents actually took me to various, you know, health facilities, but medical facility, but it did not actually work. So my, you know, my physical disability shut down, you know, the door for my me to go to public kindergarten, and only actually the Catholic school called the St. Mary accepted me. And so after the acceptance, amazingly, my legs healed and started actually walking again. And so my parents actually wanted me to go to public primary school. Yet, according to my parents, actually, you know, I begged them to let me continue to go to St. Mary's. You know, and so I was given the opportunity to continue the study there till high school. So school religious, you know, school offered me the religious class that is Catholic, but so I think, you know, the Catholic sister taught us academic subject and oversaw the, you know, club activities, and I used to go to Catholic, you know, mass, you know, Christmas mass with my mother and brother, and actually even the sisters demonstrated love toward my mother when she was hospitalized from 1980 to 85. She was hospitalized for 5 years, but the constantly actually they actually went to hospital. And so the one actually the birth I actually made was part of the English speaking society. These are club activities overseen by one of the sisters called Sister Holman. And so she encouraged us to recite the verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. And so I, you know, that actually helped me to recite the verses. And so let me actually share. And love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easy angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And yeah, then after graduation, actually, I failed the university entrance exam. So I did Ronin. Actually, I went to preparatory school. And again, I couldn't get the high mark enough to go to the department I went to. But I went to, I major in African studies and Swahili language with international studies as a minor. So I think, you know, yeah, you will hear what actually brings, you know, is related to actually those subjects. Anyway, so then after the graduation, I went to Kenya and to work with the Japanese embassy in Nairobi from 92 to 94 as an administrative attaché. And so that was a kind of brief history, but you know, there are, I have a lot of problems since. And you know, looking back, I realized how sinful I was actually, you know, from the childhood. Let me share just a bit of icebergs. So, you know, the pride. And so, yeah, I, you know, when I was small, because of the being a firstborn daughter, I tried to be, you know, try to pretend to be a good daughter, and was afraid to have a bad marks at school test. So I still remember, hiding those bad scores, test papers, and throwing away. Yeah, so. And also, you know, self-centeredness, you know, this is just a kind of example. But when I was age 11, I was hospitalized as a kidney failure for 1 month. But that time, you know, my parents and brother took their time to come to hospital, but I was really thinking about TV program cut without, you know, rather than, you know, instead of appreciating them. So this is just an example. And in deference to God, you know, I went to, you know, a Catholic, I was given the opportunity to go to Catholic school for 14 years. But during the school days, I was not interested in Christianity at all, even though I witnessed my mother's miraculous recovery. Actually, 5 years, you know, hospitalization, cancer was really, really difficult to be cured, but miraculously, you know, recovered. And also, Catholic sisters really, total support. But as I was more interested in studying, and even discouraged my friends who really show interest in Christianity, to discourage them to deep into their faith during the high school days. And also, I experienced, you know, the failure, you know, lost confidence and emptiness. And as I mentioned earlier, that I failed the entrance exam for the National University. That was my first challenge. I mean, like a challenge before I became Christian, the major one. My parents couldn't afford sending me to the private university, so I have to kind of prepare for the other preparatory school. But that experience made me depressed, and then I even thought about killing by myself. You know, looking back, that was very silly, but that time I took it very seriously. But the experience made me depressed, and so, but somehow I think I love classical music, and I love actually Mozart, particularly actually the Requiem. Requiem was like a funeral kind of mass, but somehow, actually that music, and also the Shusaku Endo's novel called on the final period of Christian persecution in Japan. Actually, he wrote actually the Kiku's Prayer that focused on those persecution actually happened in Japan. Somehow that encouraged me to retry entrance exam, and also I had a big problem of lust. And so during my university days, actually being out of girls' high school, and I was very free. And my time in Kenya, it was sort of, you know, being out of my parents' house, and was really kind of did a lot of bad things. And so before God rescued me, I had a really lot of relationships, and I enjoy really worldly matters and luxuries. So how I began my relationship with Christ. And, you know, I heard about Jesus, and I learned, you know, prayers when I was at school. And Also, I attended actually the Protestant church in Kenya, Nairobi, called Nairobi Lighthouse Church. And so the Kenyan friend Carol Katuba and guided me to the church. But my initial motivation was to, initial motivation to continue go there was to see my German friends. So it is not God, it was friends. But, I heard about Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ died for me. Yet somehow I had a kind of wrong notion that only good people could become Christians, as I knew I was a sinner and would die if I continued to live like, you know, live life like that. So during that time, I had too much afraid of that time somehow dying of HIV/AIDS, because during that time it was really kind of rampant in those areas. So my heart was very hardened and couldn't accept Jesus for nearly 6 months I was in the church. So on the one afternoon on 10th of December 93, when I visited Carol's family and the house was, you know, family was visited by local kind of pastor who normally visited their, you know, family. And I had a casual talk with the pastor for a while. I don't remember what that talk was about, but he asked me naturally by using the booklet called Four Steps to Salvation, 4つの法則. And if you die today, will you go to heaven? He actually made me really kind of direct question. And I told him that I would not. I was not sure. And I responded to the invitation prayer. And really joy came out after confession and acknowledged Jesus as my savior. And when I contacted my family on receiving actually Jesus Christ, my family, particularly father and brother, strongly discouraged me from taking baptism. Because of this, and my friends from our church advised me maybe I should actually get water baptism on my way back from Kenya to Japan. I actually stopped in Germany to visit my friend's actual church in Germany, so where I actually had a water baptism. And so after returning from Kenya to Kyoto, that was my hometown in March 94, I was with family for 1 year. And my family actually really told me that I would forsake actually the culture, you know, tradition, and forsake family and, you know, ancestors. But that time God guided me to the International Chapel Center in Kyoto, and introduced by a friend from church in Kenya. And so it was not until I was actually through the discipleship course, as well as through the reading the Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson, some of who may know the book. I did that course with a pastor from the church, and I came to gradually, slowly understand who Jesus was in deeper way. So, but that was actually around my salvation. So let me share my current situation. And so I've been coming to MCC since May 95. So actually, yeah, 20 years I've been here, but more than 10 years, like 2 years in the UK, I was actually leading actually the graduate school, and 2 years serving in Tanzania as a volunteer, and 6.5 years with World Vision. So during that time, I was out of the country. So these years, so there have been actually the times when I experienced spiritual ups and downs, not actually smooth ways since actually receiving the Christ, or not being able to attend church due to restriction, like as in Sudan, because of the more than 99% of the population in North Sudan actually the Muslim. So we are discouraged to go to church because of, you know, being high profile. But God remains unchanged and faithful to me, and has guided me to brothers and sisters wherever I go, and provides me with what is necessary for me in his eyes at that very moment. So, like, for example, like Sunday fellowship in Sudan, even if that we are discouraged to go to church, but there, we had a kind of a fellowship among the Christians from various various organizations. And also the Arabic-speaking church in South Sudan with the English translation. That was also a really great opportunity. And also God guided me to the Evangelical Church in Monrovia, Liberia, when I was serving there. And also I was encouraged after my mother passed away in February 2011. And also I was hospitalized in April 2011, right after the March 11. So I've been, you know, I had a countless thanksgiving to God. And I thank God for your intercessional prayers, encouragement, and love over the years. That the prayers really, really helped me to go through in the most difficult time in the field and also in Japan. So, okay, so maybe, you know, let me share the most recent spiritual journey. So, so during the February 2012 through March 13, you know, at work, I was given the task to lead, you know, emergency team consisting of 14 members. And it was really big burden for me, but particularly till October, November 2012, I really struggled with challenges by myself rather than challenges maybe concerning actual personal relationship, rather than surrendering the situation to God. I really try my heart to do it by myself. But so staffing issues, which I consider such at that time, was actually, you know, induced by, you know, my self-centeredness and my pride and, you know, fearing people's opinion. Because we have actually the semi-annual evaluation by boss and by staff members. And I was so scared of the feedback. But anyway, so at around that time, the Bible verse, you know, from Matthew 7:21, jump into my eyes and scared me. Let me read. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So Matthew 7:21. So this passage clearly said, those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom of heaven. This passage aims at, you know, target the believers rather than non-believers. So going through this the experience in 2013, I sincerely wanted to deepen relationship with God and be transformed by God to be a woman he wants me to be. So another Bible passage that made me recommit myself to God was Genesis 38. I think the pastor maybe touched earlier. So the chapter contains the story of Judah and Tamar. The story demonstrates how God works. How God works even through the sins committed by Judah and Tamar to accomplish his purposes for his people and the world. So their story reminds me how God's grace is much greater than my sins. So at the beginning of the year 2013, God planted in me a desire to get to know him deeper through the Bible study I had participated in since late 2012. And in May 2013, God called me through Maureen, this is the Bible study fellowship teaching leader, to serve as group leader. And without any prayer hint. So initially I thought I had no idea why she called me. I thought she would sack me, she would fire me because I couldn't actually attend because of my work. But and so I was so as I was given 2 days to respond to her, that I meditated on the word and prayed and sought his will. I experienced a tug of war between worldly kind of thoughts, frequent travel schedule, you know, which may not meet the you know, BSF, this Bible study fellowship schedule, and trusting the Lord. But as there was no clear no-go sign from the Lord, I accepted the calling. But honestly speaking, even after accepting, I struggled to surrender to the Lord and how stubborn I have been. So let me share one episode with you. When I had a work-related conference in November 2013 that needed to be part of, I consulted a teaching leader and was encouraged to pray and seek his will. And I prayed and God answered me clearly through canceling the conference due to sudden change in the policy, internal policy. So, you know, so, and through, you know, through being mentored by the teaching leader and weekly leaders' conference meetings on Saturdays and daily time with the Lord, God has been graciously teaching me to go back to the foundation, the prayers, diving into the word, trusting and obeying the Lord, and keeping priorities in my life, including use of God-given resources like money and time. And so day after day, week after week, and year after year, God has been pointing out the specific areas of correction through the Holy Spirit. So lastly, as I shared my faith journey, that only by God's grace and mercy of me, and my sins were forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm who I am now. And I'm still journeying with my Lord Jesus Christ, and would love to have intimate in a relationship with him as the apostle John did. So one day, when I see Jesus, I'd like to be told by my master, "Well done, good and faithful servants." So lastly, let me actually share my, you know, we will sing actually this, you know, song called Trust and Obey. This has been really my, like, main kind of, I mean, so my main topic of the song actually since actually last year. So thank you so much for your patience. Sorry actually for over actually, you know, taking more than 20 minutes. Thank you so much.